South of Midnight, one of the weirdest games that I've seen come out in quite a long time, and for all the weirdest reasons, all the right reasons, and all of the wrong reasons. And today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to do our normal breakdown like we normally do, but we're also going to hop into the game directly, because there's things to talk about here that I feel like are actually very indicative of not just how weird the gaming industry is right now, but also how weird our culture is right now. So come along, this is an interesting one. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Right Click. As always, Murdman here, and like you heard in the intro, we're doing things a little bit different. We've kind of done something like this in the past where I've gone through gameplay, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I always enjoy doing that, but this is going to be a bit of a mix because I feel like I need to kind of set the stage, if you will. So South of Midnight. South of Midnight is a game that came out about a week ago, roughly, I think, April 8th. Yeah, so it's had some time. It's had some time out in the sun, and here's the thing. This game had a lot of controversy, as most games do, leading up to it. And I always hate when I see something that's intriguing, and then immediately when I go to Google it, I see this comment or this comment saying whatever, and it taints it immediately. And I sit there and go, okay, what are we doing? And that was kind of how this was. And I gotta tell you, there was something about this game that piqued my interest. And I think I've been able to put my finger on it. And it's a little odd. But I find something compelling about it. And at the same time, I find it annoying. It is the most odd game I've ever played. And I don't mean like it's just a weird game full of weird theming. I don't look at it that way at all. As a matter of fact, I find a lot in it that I relate to, which I find this so odd. And let me just show you this. To set the stage here. South of Midnight, we're looking at this right here. South of Midnight is a new action-adventure game from Compulsion Games. Explore the mythos and confront mysterious creatures in the deep south in this modern folktale while learning to weave an ancient power to surmount obstacles and unravel your family's hidden past. And right now on Steam, it's got just over 1,100 reviews, and they're set for very positive. So overall, people are liking it, and we're going to get into some details later. Also, $40. This is a big deal. Now, granted, this game came out on Game Pass. I have been playing it on Game Pass, and we have no active metrics of Game Pass. I've said this in the past. There's not a lot. There's not a lot of metrics that we can follow when games release on Steam and on console and on top of that on Game Pass for Xbox, which as I've described before, if you have an Xbox and you have Game Pass, everything translates between your PC. As a matter of fact, I'm showing you this on the PC. I just downloaded it on my PC right before filming this. I've been playing this on my Xbox, and here's the funny thing. I have a Backbone controller for phones, and all it is it just clamps on, and I can just play on here. Because I have an Xbox, I can stream my Xbox to my phone, and this is actually how I've been playing this game. There's a lot here that's actually compelling. Now, some of this, as I said, is for me personally. A big thing right now is the fact, frankly, that it's a $40 dadgum game. How many times do we see AAA, or not necessarily AAA, because this really isn't AAA, but quality games, quote unquote, come out at a price point that isn't $70? Now, let's learn a little bit about this game, because there's a baseline that has to be established before we start getting into some of the more controversial aspects of this game. So, let's set the stage here, and you can see some of these graphics. It's as it shows, and I believe it says here, it's more of a gothic feel. So, Unravel the Past, from the creators of Contrast and We Happy Few, South of Midnight is a spellbinding third-person action-adventure game set in the American Deep South. Now, I am from the American Deep South. Immediately, I had some level of interest to it. As Hazel, the main character who you see in the top right here, you will explore the mythos and encounter creatures of southern folklore in a macabre and fantastical world. When disaster strikes her hometown, Hazel is called to become a weaver, a magical mender of broken bonds and spirits. Imbued with these new abilities, Hazel will confront and subdue dangerous creatures, entangle the webs of her own family's past, shared past, and if she's lucky, find her way to a place that feels like home. And there's a lot here, but I feel like some of this is necessary. And you can see it is very gothic. You can see by some of these this imagery that they've got here. I love, like, so confront mythical creatures, fight destructive haints. Some will pick up on that, some won't, and that's okay. Explore the diverse regions of the South. All right. Reweave the tears in the grand tapestry. There's so much here I could say, and I'm going to pull something up. I was describing this game to my dad, because my dad spent a lot of time as a young man, in the Louisiana area. He grew up in that area, and I don't have a connection. I don't have a connection to New Orleans or Baton Rouge or, the Creole. I'm okay with butchering this because this is not my culture, and I'm not going to sit here and say that it is. I appreciated the Deep South aspect of it, but so Creole, in Creole culture, there's, from what I've gathered, there's this grand tapestry, and it is as they put it in the introduction. You're exploring the weaves of the grand tapestry. It's all based around this kind of Creole, Louisiana, deep plus deep South, lore, folklore, and stories. Let's just say I'm just gonna keep it simple because I'm having trouble formulating this because I actually have a lot of thoughts about this. And I mentioned my dad, and that was one of the things. At first glance, I got interested in this because of the Deep South thing. Like, okay, that's I get that. I'm from the Deep South, for God's sake. Like, and I was immediately interested when I saw that, and then I saw all of the little bits and pieces. I saw the things that I kind of had seen in folklore, and then I started reading into it and looking at it, and then started playing it, and it kind of had a little bit of a connection point because of my dad and his time down there. I don't know, you know, he's not from there, but he always had an appreciation for the culture. And so when I saw this, there was a lot of little things that just kind of combined pieces for me and went, okay, I'm interested. And like I said in the start, it was one of those things where I went, man, I'm interested, but as soon as I Googled it, there was something there. And here's that something. Let's cut to the chase here. People are saying it was Doom from the start. You'll see at the top of your screen, it's, for those of you that can't see it, it says Sweet Baby. And this is these are the group of people here. From Sweet Baby Inc. And we've talked about Sweet Baby Inc. Sweet Baby Inc. is... They call themselves storytellers. And basically they get in... It's a Canadian narrative development and consultation studio is their whole shtick. They're based out of Montreal. The whole gist is that they get in with a lot of AAAs, a lot of indie companies, and they help write their stories, and they typically do it based off of some level of DEI initiative and bringing diversity, equity, and inclusivity into video games, into their narratives. And, you know, when I see this, I understand why people are saying it was doomed. It was doomed from the start. And I hate that because I saw this and went, okay, that's a huge mark. That's a huge hit. I every time I see something Sweet Baby, it's a problem. And I'm just going to go ahead and preface this. From my own playthrough, yeah, there's definitely hints of that. You're in deep South Louisiana, which is a predominantly black area, and the only white people you run into are either literally out of their mind or belligerent drunks who are willing to die in a hurricane, at least insofar as how far I've made it. Now, I've played it for three plus hours. I've heard the game is not very long, like 8 hours. There has not been a lot. There has been an intent on the black culture, and I think it's obviously appropriate given what it's trying to tie into, i.e. a Louisiana, a Creole folklore kind of environment. I have zero problem with that. And there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, people hate this game because it's got a black main character. No, actually, I don't understand how people are drawing that conclusion. And as a matter of fact, I do know how. It's a lie. Nobody's mad at this game because it has a black main character. The black main, it doesn't mean anything. Hazel, the main character, there's parts of it that she annoys the crap out of me, but as a general rule, I find her story to be quite compelling. And again, things that I find relatable, her whole thing is that her life was centered, you know, she was just out of high school and, or in high school, like towards the end, anyways. And she runs track. Well, I ran track in high school, and that was my favorite part of high school. So again, I find connection points, and then I see, oh, Sweet Baby. And then I see little things. I see that little Sweet Baby stuff come out with the white individuals in the game. I see crap like that. And then, you know, I was like, okay, what am I missing here? Because it has to be more than just that. Because I can't, as annoying as those two white characters are and what they've done to them, I can't sit here and say, well, a game based in Creole Deep South should have more white people in it. That doesn't make sense. Narratively speaking, demographically speaking, that doesn't make sense. And that's okay. I have zero problem with it. And again, I find it to be a compelling story. And then I started digging, and this is what I found. And this is where I started to understand. This is, her name's Katie. She's one of the community managers for Compulsion Games, and she talks regularly about how she hates gamers. I mean, like, she is belligerent in how much she hates gamers, and it actually, to be honest, it is sad, because some of the stuff in here is really good. And then you go and see a quote from her. To really get a sense of who she is, though, look at her feed. Her tweets and retweets are both blunt and fearless, and they might not be for everyone. Robinson is okay with that. Quote, and this is one of the leadership team in Compulsion Games. Quote, you're not going to tickle some people's fancy being outspoken or tweeting things like I do or when I say white male gamers were a mistake. And that's where the controversy is really truthfully centered around. And it is a bummer. To be honest with you, it's a bummer. Because I found a lot in this game that I like, I relate to, and it really bugs the piss out of me, to be honest with you. Because when I see stuff like that, it really does make me not want to play the game. Because I am a white male gamer with zero apologies. I think it's absolutely retarded that we have to have this conversation, man. I gotta tell you, and I'm gonna switch over here in a second to the actual game, and I'm gonna explain why, and I'm gonna give you some thoughts, my thoughts on the game itself. But it is important that we have this conversation, because this, and all we're talking about here, the white male gamers were a mistake, and the honestly I hate gamers. You're a community manager for a video game company, for a development company. What did you think you were running into? I don't understand that. And then you have other people in their leadership saying white gamers were a mistake. You then announce that you're backed by Sweet Baby Inc. You start piecing that stuff together, and then you see in the first 5 minutes of the game, if that. The first white character you run into is a dipstick who's willing to kill himself and his dogs in a hurricane while he's sitting there in a drunken stupor. You start to piece that little tapestry together, and it starts to make sense. Okay, this isn't just narrative decisions. This was intentional. And here's what happened. And this is crazy. South of Midnight on the Steam database. There is 766 people playing this game right now. It is currently in its 24-hour peak. Its all-time peak was 1,438 players at once. That was 4 days ago. This game has 81 negative reviews, but over 1,100 positive reviews. The people who actually gave this game a shot found that, by and large, it was at least mildly compelling. But the problem is, it never stood a chance. Why? Because of things like this. And things like this. Why would we give it a shot where I just want to kick back and play a game that's a narrative storyline driven game and did something in a realm, in a setting we don't really ever see? I was interested just like everybody else. And then I saw this and went, do I want to continue playing this game? And for those of you for reference here. Okay. The most played games on Steam right now, I'm going to Counter-Strike is sitting at time of recording at almost 670,000 players. In the last 24 hours, it peaked at 1.7 million players. Let's take Baldur's Gate 3. Baldur's Gate 3 came out in August 3rd of 2023, and it's currently sitting at 117,000 players right now. A game about making your own pot farm or something like that is sitting at almost 200,000. You look at this and you realize these are abysmal numbers. It never stood a chance. I mean, look at these numbers. You're talking years old games. This is a game about a banana. Understand. It's a game about a banana. And all you do is click the banana, and it counts how many clicks you've clicked on the banana. You understand what I'm saying here, right? Banana currently has 92,000 people clicking a friggin' banana. It peaked at almost 1 million concurrent players last June. You understand what I'm saying, right? This is insanity. This is pure, unbridled insanity. Because the saddest part of all of this, you can tell in South of Midnight, people actually cared about this game. They actually cared. And I sit here and I play it and I go, I get why. There's parts of this game I'm playing in ultra wide right now. Now, some of the screen is cropped just to make it a little more comfortable for viewing. But this game runs exceptionally well. This is where I'm at in the story. Nothing crazy. And I'm just going to run around and give you some thoughts. Because taking into account everything that we've talked about, at its core, this isn't a bad game. Now, there is parts of this game that has some problems that they overlooked. And so I'm going to break some of that down. I want to break down the good. I want to break down the bad. It's all worth talking about. And I think they did some things exceptionally well. Frankly, exceptionally well. And I think they did some things that were, frankly, abysmal. You have gotten to the point at this point in the storyline where there's movement. And you get these new movement techs. There's places to explore. You're learning your powers so you can dredge up old memories and interact with them. I the storyline is compelling. They did something neat here. You can see this is actually a pretty darn good looking game. Look at the character. Look at the way her arms move. You see how they jitter? It's because this game has something called, let me see if I can find it. I don't remember where it's at. Gameplay, I believe. Yeah, stop motion effects. And this allows you to enable or disable the in-game stop motion effects. The whole gist of the cutscenes and everything is they're in a claymation style, hence the graphic style, stop motion, like video style. And then everything else around your character moves normally and smoothly. It's incredibly neat, actually. I love the things you run into. You're in a swamp after a hurricane in deep South Louisiana, and magic has happened, right? So you can go and climb on peaches, and look, I get to move a box around. Yay. And there's a little bit of exploration that it slowly unlocks as time goes along, and I'm leveling up, and I can see, like, look around. The game is interesting. And the story is about your mom, and you were trying to run away from a hurricane, and she gets swept away in the house, and you're trying to find her. And as you try to find her, you're finding out things about your past and that you are a weaver and can interact. And they even make quotes about, like, Br'er Rabbit, and it has a very, like, Song of the South feel because it does touch on the slavery aspect. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a compelling story. It is gorgeous. I'm sorry. This game, at least to me, I find it to be legitimately, like, I think it looks great. Can I even climb? I can climb up here. One of the things that I love is the characters that you as a weaver interact with, like this giant catfish.
Hazel, got everything you need?
I think that's everything.
Then hurry up and fix that tangle.
I love it. I love this. I mean, look at the scenery. They do the stop motion with the main characters. And then everything else moves very smoothly, very seamlessly. And I can't help but just be compelled by it. I'm going to turn this down a little bit because I have a feeling this is going to get loud in a second. But there's things that fall off heavily. The combat is stunningly abysmal. So you get these weaver hooks, and this is your main fighting, and then you get a push and a pull, and I don't even know what they call it, a weave. Yeah, weaved enemies take more damage. You can push them away, you can pull them away, and the combat, even late game, really doesn't get that much more complex than it, and neither do the enemies, all things considered. There's not a ton of traversal. It's a very linear game. But it's beautiful. I find it to just be beautiful. I don't know. This game is the epitome of don't knock it till you try it, but there's legitimate reasons as to why people aren't trying it. And it's one of those weird combinations where I see both sides of the argument. Now, people have pointed out they did some weird character choices. And this might seem insensitive, and I don't mean it to sound insensitive. I'm just going to be blunt here. This was pointed out by some black folk that they pointed this out. For one, you're allowed to just go picking cotton. As a black man character, you can go pick cotton. A lot of people found that to be an odd choice. Another thing that they found to be odd is even in shallow water, if your character hits water, she just dies. Your character can't swim. She's an extremely gifted athlete, canonically. And they made choices that people are pointing out going, well, that's odd. And I do find it odd because they have this beautiful landscape. And sure, there are things to circumvent that traversal. I understand that. You have a bunch of, let's be honest, white Canadians telling you that. And I find that to be odd, and it's very sweet babyish.
What crazy thing is about and to happen now?
I assume your first time in Yui was a bit eventful?
Oh, yeah.
I love this.
You go to warn me about the fog.
Fog? Oh, that fog. Yes. Must have slipped my mind. I'm a tad dehydrated.
And mind you, I'm playing this at maxed out settings.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be so personal.
And that's the thing right there. That's the thing that I'm really hitting on. Is there's so much of this game that they draw on where you see her personal conflict and you see her ancestors in a slave setting. I think it's compelling. This game is an enigma. I don't understand it. There's some things that they did terribly. There are some things that they did wonderfully. I think the graphic style, the fact that it plays this well on everything that I've put it on, even on my phone, is fascinating to me. And the combat is so terrible. I mean, it's abysmal. There's nothing to it. There's no depth to it. And I think that's my problem, is because there was on the front end, because of the drama that came from Sweet Baby, the community manager's leadership, there's a lot of things for people to go, I'm not even giving this a shot. Not even for $40 am I giving this a shot. And I look at it and go, yeah, I understand. And then I see people who are really excited to play it and are ranting and raving about it. And I go, well, I understand. I think this culturally is very indicative of where we stand. Because this game is a complete case of don't knock it till you try it. Now, there could be things further in the game. I'm not going to complete the entire game right here, right now. I will. But for where I stand, my first impressions of this game are overall positive from a game development standpoint. Do I wish there were things that were done better? Absolutely. But I think it's worth giving it a shot. But we are in this knee-jerk mentality, culturally speaking, where if we see something that has X, Y, or Z on it, we go, I won't touch it. And okay, fair enough. There's certain things you need to draw the line in the sand on. But this is a perfect case of what I talk about, of vote with your dollar. You have to come to the moral conclusion of, is this a good game that I enjoy playing and I find connection to? And I'm willing to support them? Or is this backed by people who I don't support so they won't get my money? That's up for you. That's for you to choose. I can't answer that. But that's why I like talking about this game in particular, because it's so conflicting. And I think that's a good thing, because it gives us things to dwell about. And I will say this, my last little tidbit here. This game is proof that the word woke has zero meaning anymore. It has no meaning because people saw Sweet Baby on it and immediately said it's woke trash, didn't play it, and it peaked at like 1,400 players. Okay, yeah. Fundamentally, I get where you're coming from with the whole woke thing, but like, why cut your nose off to spite your face? There's more here. And we can't be so short-sighted. We have to come to a legitimate conclusion rather than other people coming to that conclusion for us by saying it has X, therefore it's woke. Well, it doesn't always equate to that. And it's discernment. It's proper judgment. And I feel like culturally we've lost the ability to discern things. And I think this, from the video game side of things, proves that point. So, without further ado, I'm going to leave it there. Because this game has me so perplexed. I've never had a game leave me so perplexed. I'm going to finish it. I can't stand the combat. The combat's terrible. There's a reason I didn't show it to you. Because there's nothing to show. The little snippet they give, the little gif that they have as the snippet on the store page shows you the combat. It's really subpar. But there's a lot great about it. Let me know what you think about it. I'm curious. This game has already been very back and forth. There's more people talking about it than there are playing it. So that's very interesting. So anyways, I'm going to leave it at that. As always, my name is Birdman. I hope you guys enjoyed. Come back next week. Going to be fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this one, because this is a weird one. This is, like I said from the start, this is a very, very weird scenario. Anyways, thank you all for watching. I hope you have a wonderful evening, wonderful day, wonderful morning. Whenever you're watching this, have a great day.